Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the firstborn. Jesus was the firstborn from death, resurrected that we may have life, and he is the firstborn over all creation, the preeminent Son, through whom we are adopted as sons and daughters of God the Father. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Just found one of those exceptions. This is Wretched Radio. Next week, we will be talking about the story that is no doubt weighing heavy on all of our hearts. I'm not sure that a story in evangelical Christianity has caused us to talk about that subject more in our home. We're just staggered by it. The man that we're going to be discussing on Monday, yes, by name, stayed in our home, done ministry with this fellow. It's sort of like COVID. You remember that dismal COVID season we had to endure? What else did you talk about? I'll bet you, maybe you're like, no, I'm sure you are way better than I am. I was so sick of talking about COVID, and yet I couldn't stop talking about COVID. It's, you know, the masking. I was just reminded of this. Oh, who did this? Oh, some friends from church. We were having a meal. Do you remember the arrows in the grocery store telling you which side of the aisle to walk on? All I could do is just couldn't stop talking about that. Kind of find myself feeling that way about this and just talking about it with Mrs. Friel and working through it and thinking through it and trying to apply Bible to it. And earlier I had said that, you know, I'm sure there are some people who have the ability to right away respond with something good. But I think as a rule, a lot of the quick responses, just kind of jumping on to the, hey, we're going to get in early on this because everybody's interested and they're going to, well, I just was looking through my emails during the break and guess what I received? An email from, I'll leave his name. I'll probably use it on Monday. I read it. It's super fine. It was, in fact, it was interesting. This pastor who was commenting on this situation said, I really hesitated to post this, but because I think it can be so helpful. That's so pastoral. That's what we should all be asking. Is what I'm going to say going to be helpful? Does it really help? Or is it just a rehash? This is kind of a thing for me. And I'm not talking about religion at the moment. I'm talking about most stories. There's the headline. And then it's like, okay, I think I'm going to learn something about this subject I'm interested in. And what is that story filled with? And this person once said this, and then this piece of legislation happened, and then this, here's the statistic, and it's like, get to the headline. And you never really do. In fact, I've done that on the air here before. It's like the 49th paragraph. It's like, okay, there's the headline. But the majority of the story is just a rehash. I don't think that that's healthy. Now, I wouldn't make a hard and fast rule because, again, I think talking about these things, it is helpful. So I'm not trying to be puritanical in the worst sense. Don't you dare talk about these things more than once. I'm not saying that. But if we're just constantly, this, it's kind of the thing because it's kind of a big deal. And it's a grievous deal. And it's a troubling story because of the individual in question. This is profoundly, like, whoa, this is gut punch territory is what this is. So I'm not suggesting that, but I am saying we just got to be careful that we don't find ourselves talking about somebody inside of the evangelical community the way that we talked about COVID. I think that's what I'm trying to say here. So I received an email from a pastor who said, I think I can offer something helpful. That's a rule of discernment. Well done. And I read through. Wonderful. Just wonderful stuff. Great stuff. I'll share it on Monday when I kind of get my act together because I still think maybe possibly, hopefully, I have two angles to this that hopefully will be helpful. Because if it's not, then it's chaff, just worthless. And maybe it's a little bit different than, you know, saying it in a way, or nobody else has said it yet. Well, then, okay, I'd like to contribute that. But if I can't check these boxes, zip, zip, zip it, Friel. Send stuff to idea@wretched.org. We're going to be sharing emails about this story. People are so hurt. People are, they're just so confused. And that's the angle I want to go after next week. How does this happen? How does what? He? What? It's inconceivable in our brains. And yet, it shouldn't be. But if we're not careful, we might suddenly turn into a Romans 6:1 sort of tribe. We don't want to do that either. So next week, Monday, Lord willing, hopefully, prayerfully, I'll be able to do what this pastor did really fast, because I just need more time. Idea@wretched.org, 877-282-2337.
All right, this question is from Rachel. Todd, could you please explain the concept of soul care and if this new trend is really biblical?
Oh, wow. Yeah. You're lighting me up like a candle here. This is... No, like a Roman candle.
There you go.
That'd be more kaboom. Like, you ever read the John chapter? Is it chapter 7? Because he's getting into the tussle. I think it's, Jimmy, when Jesus said, "I'm the light of the world," this is so staggering. If you're interested in this type of thing, I wrote a book on it called Jesus Unmasked a number of years, 10 years ago. Wow, zoink scoop. About Jesus identifying himself in the Old Testament. It's types and shadows typology. And one of them was light, that Jesus Christ claimed to be the light of the world. And you need to understand what is going on in the context. Well, the Messiah was going to be the light of the world, so he's referring back to the fulfillment of an Old Testament prophecy. I personally believe, you can disagree with me on this. I get it. No. Hard feelings between us. I think he's what illuminated the universe prior to the sun and the moon on the fourth day. That's what I think. But it was in the context of the festival of sheaves, first fruits festival. They're celebrating God's goodness of was it first fruits? No. Tabernacles. It's Feast of Tabernacles. It was, the Bible has it as a 7-day feast. Somehow it turned into an 8-day feast. I believe, please forgive me if I've got this wrong, but on the 7th day, this is when Jesus started to say, in the midst of all of the people who were assembled for the Feast of Tabernacles, which is the celebration of God's provision to the Jews in the wilderness when they had to tabernacle in the wilderness, this is a reminder of God and his goodness to his people and keeping them alive, sustaining them and guiding them into the promised land, although a whopping two people made it in. I don't think you can make a perfect parallel to this, but if you've ever wondered broad road, narrow road, well, here's maybe as close to a physical picture of this as you can get. 600,000 men, and I mean that, men, the XYs. What is that? Why? What's the point of this? Because there were also XXs and there were children to boot. So what are we talking about? A couple million people here that God took out of Egypt. How many people went into the promised land? Joshua, Caleb. That's a narrow road, and that's kind of scary. So the Jews were commanded to celebrate this feast annually. Jesus went to this feast. And on the day when, on the seventh day, I believe, they would go down to a well and they would pull out water. And while they were walking back up to the temple with the water, they were quoting Isaiah about him being the living water. And that's when Jesus stood in the midst of them with a loud voice and proclaimed, "That's me. You're celebrating me because I am the Messiah in your midst, the living water." And then the last day of the festival, which was the eighth day, light all throughout the entire festival, they were lighting it up, and it progressively got brighter and brighter in Jerusalem. So on the eighth day, Jerusalem, it was lit like a Roman candle, and they were celebrating and thanking God, and the place is lit up, and Jesus stands in the midst of them and proclaims, "That's me. I'm the light of the world." Wow. Kaboom. Just explosive. "I'm in your midst. The one that you've been waiting for is here. I'm the living water. I'm the light of the world." So what does that have to do with soul care, you say? It has to do with the Bible. And the Bible telling us what it says about how it can help us, how it can heal us, how it is good for all of life and godliness. And the Bible is everything you need. There's a history to soul care. And if you'd look at the time, we want to share that history, but it's way too helpful and it's way too encouraging to truncate it. So we'll talk about it next on Wretched Radio.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. At Fortis Institute, we've assembled an incredible team of biblical voices who are equipping believers every day. Dr. John Kreitz, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Greg Gifford, Libby Glosson, Pastor Brad Bigney, Dr. Andrew Walker, Jason Lyle, Tim Challies, and of course, our very own Todd Friel. And their work has been invaluable in equipping believers because that's our mission. And the beautiful part, when you join us and link arms with us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, your faithful giving doesn't just sit there. It multiplies into campus evangelism and biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. And speaking of equipping people, make sure you download Fortis Plus. It is completely free if you haven't downloaded it yet, and it is loaded with hundreds of hours of content, with new content added every single day. No cost, no catch, just solid biblical truth. Look, the fields are white for harvest, and your monthly partnership make it possible. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting fortisinstitute.org. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? Hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Look, I'm going to be straight with you. Every man knows what it's like to fight a battle no one else can see. You wake up, you're determined that today is going to be different. This time, you're going to be stronger than the temptation. But then evening comes, and there you are again, right back where you started. You're making promises to yourself that you already know deep down that you're not going to keep tomorrow. Here's what no one wants to admit. You can't win this fight with willpower. Trust me, if determination alone could break the chains of lust and sin, you would already be free. You've probably figured that out by now. The filters, the accountability apps, the promises to your wife or to yourself, they're just band-aids on a wound that needs surgery. Real freedom, the kind that actually lasts, it only comes when Christ changes you from the inside out. Not just your habits, but your actual heart. That's what Todd Friel gets into very deeply with his resource, Play the Man. It's available right now as an ebook, an audiobook, and video series only at fortisplus.org.
Attributes of God. God is omniscient, meaning he knows all things. He knows all things past, present, and future. God does not learn new information, and nothing takes him by surprise. He knows what will happen and is working all things for his glory and the good of those who love him.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Like I said, John chapter 8. This is Wretched Radio, soul care. It's all the rage, but it ain't a trend. An individual writing into, was it idea at wretched.org or 877-282-2337?
It was idea.
As idea. So this soul care, is it biblical? And the answer to that is absolutely. Because the only one who can really help your soul is the one who made your soul. And that is God. How does he disclose himself? In his word. And his word tells us that it has everything we need for life and godliness. Everything is there. And so historically, inside of the church, now I'm talking about Protestant history here, it was called soul care. If somebody had an emotional struggle, what we would call a psychological issue, they didn't go to a psychiatrist. They didn't exist. They went to the pastor. And the pastor was the one who would open up a book called the Bible to help them understand this is what's going on. This is the root of the problem that is bearing this fruit. Let's go to work on that. And that was the standard for hundreds of years when psychiatry came along and made these issues sound. Sometimes they're very outside of norm that we can think, whoa. Well, the pastor has nothing to say about that. Is the word of God sufficient or not? We used to think so. So the answer to that should be, yes, it is. But we let psychiatry take over and we started to refer people with these, you know, really tricky issues to the professionals. Well, the professional, if you will, used to be the pastor because they did something called soul care. Today we call it biblical counseling. And boy, is it getting more and more robust every day. More great contributions. Dr. Greg Gifford, he hosts our Transform podcast. He hosted Transform TV for 3 seasons. And guess what I just saw? Season 4. We did Transform Couples. Greg didn't do the counseling. Dr. Lou Priolo did. It's amazing to watch and it's hard for me to watch because we lost Lou. Lou is going to be one of our fellows here, which we're going to be announcing everything in about a week, where we unleash all of this stuff that we've been working on. Lou is going to be one of them, and he died. And now when I watch him do biblical counseling, I just, he was such a gift. It's going to be such an amazing help for people. And we want people to see how the Bible gets applied. Because we used to believe that it was the Bible alone that accomplished that. Richard Baxter has a book on soul care. It's massive. I think it's even 2 volumes. It's humongous. And you'd be staggered at how the Bible does apply to all of these issues. So is soul care a thing? Yeah, it's a biblical thing. It's a historical thing. It's not a trendy thing. And it's the thing that we love to promote. If you haven't, by the way, listened to Greg's Transform podcast, go do that. Go find an episode of Transformed. I'm sure there's one at least floating around out there on the internet. And just watch biblical counseling in action. That's soul care. Furthermore, if you are not a church, you're a church that doesn't have soul care, you could have yourself a staggering ministry inside of your church. Become a biblical counselor. Get yourself trained and get yourself certified at the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors. It's biblicalcounseling.com, biblicalcounseling.com, not org, com. Your church needs you. If you have that gifting, oh, you're just going to be shocked at all that you're going to learn and that all you could share with people because the Bible is sufficient. We got it started in our church. Libby is... In fact, it already started. Libby's already doing biblical counseling inside of AlpharettaBibleChurch.org. And we're hoping that a man will get trained soon so that a man can do counseling too, because Libby restricts it, rightly so, to counseling women. So we're looking for a man to do the biblical counseling for men. And I would encourage your church to consider doing likewise. 877, you were looking up something on the, is there a reason you were like looking frantic on the internet Googler machine?
No.
Oh, okay.
Did you tell me to look something up?
I had that look on your face.
Oh, I don't listen to you half the time.
You know, we've been married for 21 years.
No, that's not us. That's not us. It feels that way.
What?
No, yeah.
Huh. A little hurt.
I'm sorry.
877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Tamara. Todd, I think I understand that God does not audibly speak to us. To be honest, it hurts because I think I'm coming to terms with it now. But what about those moments of doing something out of the usual, such as an inclination to do something or say something that changed a life, mm-hmm. or taking a different way home, later finding out you escaped something terrible?
Right.
Something like this would cause me to give credit and glory to God. I wouldn't dare say these are words of the Lord type things, but they're something, aren't they?
Yeah, they are something. There's something called providence. And providence is amazing. What is the Phil Johnson's? A providence is extraordinary. When you consider God's orchestrating of every single detail, that's pretty extraordinary, isn't it? And that he's not communicating particular information. He's orchestrating everything, and he's using the means that he uses. He uses the means of communicating to you through the Bible, and it's everything you need for life and godliness. But what about what route you take home? Well, you use the brain that God has given to you to study it, to use the app that tells you that there's going to be traffic up there, and then you make decisions. And the decision that you made is genuine, but it was also foreordained by God because he providentially knows what is best for you. And that is extraordinary. Now, the reason that I think that this is hard for, it's like, well, isn't God like doing anything in my life? Oh, he absolutely is. He's utilizing the means that he has determined are good for your growth. That would be Bible reading, listening to sermons, going to church, fellowship, Lord's table, prayer, and fellowship. He's using those things to mold you and to shape you. Does he use other people in your life to sometimes curb and guide you? Yeah, he's busy in your life. And if you turn left when you usually turn right and it turned out well, it's because you can thank God for his providential care of you. And this might be helpful for you. There isn't a pagan on the planet who can't share a story about driving and take, you know, I don't normally turn, but for some reason I did, and I avoided an 18-car pileup. Was God talking to them? Did God determine in advance that they would miss the accident? Did God spare them? And the answer to that is yeah, 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 to quote the Beatles. Absolutely. But it's not divine communication. Now, having said all that, as declaratively, no, that's not strong enough. Definitively, as like, I'm convicted about this thing, does that mean that God can or doesn't ever put a thought into your brain? I think he can, for sure, because he can do anything that he says can be done that isn't a sin. Does he do that? He could. He sure could. But I think that to turn that into, I've got a feeling, I've got a sense, and that's God talking to me, it's not biblical, and it is not safe. You will shipwreck your faith and potentially your life. If, you know, the Lord, I know he was telling me I need to quit my job. Hold the phone, Henrietta. That's not the way we make decisions as believers. We ask God for wisdom, not the answer for wisdom. We read his Bible on the subject. We get godly counsel, which means you go to somebody who holds a Bible in front of them to help you walk through the issue. You consider your preferences and all of the ancillary issues, and then you make a decision. That's God's will for your life. But if you operate under, I'm really sure that was a divine prompting, that's just dangerous. 877-282-23. Would you repeat the end where, was it a lady or a man was writing this?
It was a lady.
Okay. When she said, I'm coming to terms with this, mm-hmm. but it hurts. Did I get that right?
Yeah.
Okay. If I could, two thoughts. Don't think that God is now somehow distant from you. Don't think that. That's the wrong conclusion. He's nearer to you than you are. He knows you better than you know you. So don't conclude, oh, I don't have as close a relationship with God. That's just not biblical. Second of all, consider the character of God. Would he do something less for his beloved children? No, he has this worked out the best way. And here's what he's determined is the best way. I've given you a book. I've given you a local church. I've surrounded you with godly people. That's my means to help you. And because I know that God is good and he is able and he is faithful, I therefore conclude then that is the best way. He knows best. It is not Robert Young. It is God who knows what is best for you. And so you don't have to feel like, in fact, I plead with you, don't feel like, it's not as intimate. It's not as close. Yes, it is. Furthermore, it's the best way for God to communicate to you. And all that to say, remember, providence is extraordinary. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.